So, what Rekhaji says, what is this prayer, what is the need of prayer, she is quite right. If you are in that condition, prayer is absolutely meaningless. जी हाँ वो तो वही सही बात है हाँ इसलिए वो प्रैक्टिस करनी पड़ती है देट आई एग्री बट वी हैव टू सी हाउ इज द हाइएस्ट लेवल वॉट इज द कंडीशन देन वी हैव टू सी हाउ वी आर सो लाइफलेस सो ग्रेजुअली वी बिकम फिल्ड विद सम लाइफ सो वी आर टोल्ड यू डू दिस पूजा डू दैट थिंग ग्रेजुअली वी लर्न Gradually we rise up. So these are all concessions, you might say, scaffolding. Some people may not read scaffolding at all. They may not need it. Yes, it is quite like Prahlad, for example. He had the same condition of consciousness from childhood. Yes, if in the past verse he has done already, so he has reached that position already. Very often the whole idea of prayer looks like bribery. I pray to God and therefore He gives me. And we reduce God to that condition that He accepts bribery as it were. But such is not the Divine. Whether you pray or you don't pray, He is going to do what He has to do. And He knows what is to be done. So it is not as if He changes His course simply because you have prayed. Now these are subordinate questions which have to be answered. Basically, it is not as if by prayer God answers and therefore your fate is changed. It is not true. By prayer, by whatever you may ask, you may not ask, basically it gives you a chance of relating yourself with the Divine. And relating is nothing but seeing God face to face, that's all. There is no other relationship with the Divine excepting confronting Him. At present you are looking at the ground. Because of exclusive concentration of consciousness, you simply lift up and see the Divine face to face. All prayer is basically meant to lift you from ground to His face, who is standing before you. So if prayer is useful only in that sense, it is only as an effort to build up a relationship with the Divine, that is all. But it's an artificial means. Actually, you don't need to do, you should not do it. But since we are so lifeless, that we need this kind of scaffolding, so it is all right, it's a concession given to you. And you do it, and even through this, ultimately you'll reach that point. You know, there is a very nice sentence in one of the books of Sri Aurobindo. It happens to be here right now in my possession, this book. I'll read out to you this sentence. Now, Sri Aurobindo raises this question about prayer. This is on page number 542 in the Synthesis of Yoga, volume number 21. There are two paragraphs on this subject. He says, the efficacy of prayer is often doubted and prayer itself supposed to be a thing irrational and necessarily superfluous and ineffective. It is true that the universal will executes always its aim and cannot be deflected by egoistic propitiation and entreaty. It is true of the transcendent who expresses himself in the universe that being omniscient, his larger knowledge must foresee the thing to be done, and it does not need direction or stimulation by human thought, and that the individual's desires are not and cannot be in any way, in any world order, the true determining factor. But neither is that order or the execution of the universal will altogether effected by mechanical law, but by powers and forces of which, for human life at least, human will, aspiration and faith are not among the least important. Prayer is only a particular form given to that will, aspiration and faith. Its forms are very often crude, and not only childlike, which is in itself no defect, but childish. But still it has a real power and significance. Its power and sense is to put the will, aspiration and faith of man into touch with the divine will, as that of a conscious being with whom we can enter into conscious and living relations. For our will and aspiration can act either by our own strength and endeavor, which can no doubt be made a thing great and effective, whether for lower or higher purposes, and there are plenty of disciplines which put it forward as the one force to be used, or it can act in dependence upon and with subordination to the divine or the universal will. And this latter way, again, may either look upon that will as responsive indeed to our aspiration, but almost mechanically, by a sort of law of energy, or at any rate quite impersonally, or else it may look upon it as responding consciously to the divine aspiration and faith of the human soul, and consciously bringing to it the help, the guidance, the protection and fruition demanded. Yoga kshemam vahamyaham. The next paragraph. Prayer helps us, helps to prepare this relation for us. At first, on the lower plane, even while it is there consistent with much that is mere egoism and self-delusion. But afterwards we can draw towards the spiritual truth which is behind it. It is not then the giving of the thing asked for that matters, but the relation itself. The contact of man's life with God, the conscious interchange. In spiritual matters and in the seeking of spiritual gains, this conscious relation is a great power. It is a much greater power than our own entirely self-reliant struggle and effort, and it brings a fuller spiritual growth and experience. Necessarily, in the end, prayer either ceases in the greater thing for which it prepared us. In fact, the form we call prayer is not itself essential, so long as the faith, the will, the aspiration are there, or remains only for the joy of the relation. Also its objects, the artha or interest it seeks to realize, become higher and higher until we reach the highest motiveless devotion, which is that of divine love, pure and simple, without any other demand or longing. All right, these two paragraphs give you complete exposition of the need and transcendence of prayer.